Today's daf is Lamed Gimel. We're going to start four lines from the bottom of Lamed Bet Amud Bet. Rabba Bar Sharshum Nafik Alei Kala De Ka'achil Ara De Yatme. He was living on a particular plot of land, and people claim that what he was living on belonged to Yatomim. Okay, that their father had left inheritance, and he was living in the property. Amar Le Abaye Em Ali Izi Gufa De Uvde Hechi Havo. So Abaye says, okay, there's a bunch of different definitions of this word easy. We've seen this before. Tell me, some people say, really, okay, that's like a stress word, easy, really. Okay, some people say it's tell me my friend, or maybe easy was someone's name, or all different options. Anyway, it's not a significant word in the whole story. So, emali easy, gufa de uvde hechihave. What exactly happened? What are you doing in this land? Which also in this context, to say the easy is someone's name, it doesn't make so much sense because he's trying to rav bar sharshum. I think the last time we saw it, I saw someone who said that easy was his name. It doesn't make so much sense here.
It couldn't have anything to do with Chazia, like seeing or...
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. I don't know the etymology of the word, but yeah. Okay. Amrle. Ara b'mashkanta hava nikitna me'avuon diyatme. This land I took as a mashkon. If you remember, we learned about collateral. We learned that there's what's called a mashkanta desura, which means that the malve would take the land... And he would eat the payrot and he would count the money that he got from the payrot against the loan. So basically, he had this land as a mashkanta from the father. Okay, then what happened? He finished, right? He ate enough payrot to go against the loan. However, so he should have returned the land, but why didn't he? Because he also owed me other money that wasn't connected to this collateral, but achalti shne mashkanta. Okay, but I ate produce from this land to go against the other loan. Okay, Amina, I said like this. Ima hadrina la'ara liyatme v'amina. Okay, what I said to myself was like this. If I give the land back to the Yatomim and don't take against this loan, Vamina, and I say to the children, to eat li zuze achrine gabe avuchon, right? And what will they say? And that's what happens. He says, he's at this middle point. He's eaten the shnei, the money for the first loan. Now he's got a second loan. And he says like this, if I go and tell the Yatomim that you owe me money, that your father owed me money, what will happen? Amor Rabbanan, the rabbi said, habali parami nichse Yatomim, lo yipara ela b'shvuah. Okay, I'd have to swear, and I don't want to swear. So because of that, I don't want to take a shvua. So what will I do? Ela ach b'shei l'shtar mashkanta. I'll hide the shtar mashkanta, okay, that showed that this was just for that loan. Ve'och l'shir zuze, and I'll eat the land in the meantime. In other words, I'll hide the shtar mashkanta so that nobody thinks that this land doesn't belong to me right now. I'll eat the shir zuze, right? I'll eat enough to go against the second loan, and then I'll return the property. Demigo de ba'ina amina lekucha hibiyadi mehemna. Because the truth is, if I wanted to say, I bought this land, I'd be believed. Why would I be believed? Because so now there's a few different cases, options of what the cases are. Either he had already lived there 3 years in the father's lifetime, in which case he has a chazaka that he owns the land. So basically he could say that it's l'kuchi biyadi and he'd be believed. So therefore, I opted to go this way, right? Because I'd be believed anyway. And I'd be believed to say that this is connected to the loan, the first loan, because if I wanted, I could say l'kuchi biyadi. Mehemna. Ki amina di eat li zuze gabaychu. 1 second. Demigo di ibaina amina lakuchi biyadi mehemna. So ki amina di eat li zuze gabaychu mehemna. 1 second. So therefore, no, but why wouldn't he say? Why wouldn't he just say it? What he's saying is, I'd be believed if I came and said that you owe me the money. and I'm eating a keneg of the money. But then why would he then eat the property? He could have just said, Yesh lemor etzlechem, hareini ne'eman akach b'lo shvua. Right. In other words, his whole idea was just to get out of the shvua. He figures, if I just keep the land, I'll get my money back. I won't have to go to court to testify that they owe me money. As soon as I go to court to testify that they owe me money, I'll have to swear, and I don't want to do that. So I'll just keep the land.
Not so much that I'd have to swear, but I'd lose it because you can't collect from orphans.
You can collect from orphans as long as you swear, but he doesn't want to swear. So he doesn't want to swear.
He'll keep the land.
Remember, the land doesn't belong to him for the second loan.
So it's a big deal.
It's always a question why he didn't. And why doesn't he want to swear if really there's a loan? But people don't like to take shvuas. We saw that case with the almana, right? People don't really want to take shvuas. Okay, so now, Amar Le, so Abaye says to him, Lekucha biyadi lo matzin amart. You can't come claim it was Lekucha biyadi. Why? Da ika ala kala da aradiyat mehi. In other words, if you're living in this land and nobody can test that, then of course you can say Lekucha biyadi. But if you are living in this land and someone's claiming that this belongs to Yatomim, okay, there's some rumor being spread about it. Well, then your lekucha biyadi doesn't work. So you were trying to claim that you had amigo because you could have made a better claim, and I'm trying to tell you that you don't even have that better claim because there's a call that says that it belongs to Yatomim. Ella, so I just want to point out that there's three different ways of understanding this case. Okay, either the assumption is that the Yatomim don't have proof that their father lived, that it was their father's property, because if they have proof, it would be a different story. Some people say actually that he has no chazaka on the land, which is, I'm not sure then why he's saying lekuchi biyadi, but maybe because they have zero proof and he's at least muhzak in the karka, that even saying lekuchi biyadi would be enough even without ede chazaka, because it's just keeping the land in the hands of whoever it's in right now. And maybe that's why Abaye says lekuchi biyadi is not even an option, because you have zero proof of chazaka, and who are you to say lekuchi biyadi neged a kol? So that's one way of reading it. Another way of reading it is that it was 3 years in the father's lifetime. Some people say it was 3 years after the father died. It's not so significant halakhically either which way. It's just a matter of the rabbis are trying, the Rishonim are trying to come up with what exactly the details of this case. Okay, so so let's just review. A guy comes, he's living in property. People, again, we don't know whether it was 3 years while the father was alive, whether it was 3 years once the father died, or whether he doesn't even have a chazaka in all of 3 years, but he's living in some land. People claim it's Yatomim's land. He says, I was living there because of a mashkanta. I got it from their father. You're right, it belonged to the father, but it was a mashkanta. And I finished eating payroll keneged the loan, but he had another loan out, and I said, you know what, instead of having to swear in court, which I really didn't want to do, because if I went to the Yatomim and said, your father owes me money, I'd have to swear. Instead, he says, I'll just hide my shtar mashkanta, keep eating the fruits of the land until I use up all the money that the father owed me, and then I'll give the land back to the Yatomim. And I thought this was okay, because I had amigo, that if I wanted to, I could just claim it was lekucha biyadi, and therefore I'd be believed. Abaye says, you couldn't have possibly said lekucha biyadi, because there was a call saying, there's a rumor spread, that it's arei diyatme. Ella, therefore, what is Abaye rule? Zil ahadreni alayhu, go return the land to the Yatomim right now. And what about your loan that you're still owed? V'chigad leyatme ishtei dina bahadayhu. And when the Yatomim get older, then go and take them to court. And then you're going to have to swear. Now, why does he have to wait till they're older? So there's a halacha, we've learned this. Ein is kikim l'nichse yatomim. I forgot the term. But when they're a katan. Okay? So why is that? Because katanim don't know how to make claims for themselves. And maybe they do have a claim. And maybe they can do some research and figure out what the story was. And you have to wait till they're older before you can make a claim against them. So now we see, by the way, that he could have said something else earlier. When he said, I didn't want to go that route, he said, because I didn't want to swear. But now we see that there was another reason that obviously he wasn't so machpid on, otherwise he would have said it, but he also didn't want to wait. So there's two things he has to do, both wait and And swear. Okay, we're going to get back to swearing at the end of today's shir. Krive de Rav Idi Bar Avin, a relative of Rav Idi Bar Avin Shachiv, died. V'shavak Dikla, and he left over a palm tree. Rav Idi Bar Avin Amar, Ana Kriv Netfe. So now what's the issue? He obviously doesn't have a direct descendant. So we have the relative saying, oh, I have more rights to you, and I'm closer than you. And the other one says, I'm closer than you. So Rav Idi Bar Avin says, Ana Kriv Netfe. Vahu Gavra, and another guy, we don't know his name, says, Ana Kariv Natve, I'm closer. Lisof Odele Di Iu Kariv Tve. Now what happened? What happened was the other relative said, I'm closer, the one without a name. He grabs the land, because what do we have? We have a concept, comes up more in tomorrow's daf explicitly in the Gemara, at the end of the daf, so maybe we'll start with it on Sunday, called the Alim Gvar. And what does that mean? It means that when we have no one has, generally we say, if one person's living in the land and the other person says, I have it, right? Who gets first rights? If we have no proofs, the person living there. Kol de'alim gvar is a case where, like this, the guy dies, leaves over a palm tree. Either one, right? We don't know. We don't have proof which one's the relative, the closer relative. So it's a free for all, okay? Whoever's stronger gets it, okay? Whoever gets it first, right? It's like goes on in the families all the way. I got it first. So there's legitimacy to that in halacha, okay? There's all different interpretations. Maybe we'll start with it on Sundays, get some different mafreshim as to why called Alim Gvar works. But now what happens? So he says, so they each say, I'm closer. And one relative, right, the guy who's not Idi Bar Avin, comes and starts eating the produce. Lisof, but as the story continues, what happens? Odele, the relative who took over the land, admits to Rav Idi Bar Avin, de iu kariv tve. You know what? You're right. You really are closer relative than I am. Ukma Rav Chista biyade. So Rav Chista put the property now, gave it to Rav Idi Bar Avin. But what's the issue? Okay. Amarle. He says to him, Rav Idi Bar Avin says to Rav Chista, but wait, it's nice that you gave me the land now, but what about the fact that this guy was living in the land eating my produce? All that stuff belonged to me. All the dates that he took from the tree, from, you know, whatever, however long the period was, they should be mine. So Amale, lehajali peri da'achal mehu yoma ad hashta. Okay? I want all the fruits that he ate from the time he got into the land until now. Amar, Zeu shomrim alav adam gadolhu. This is what they say, a person is great. In other words, you're trying to say, I think this means, right, you're trying to say you know so much. I think that's how they interpret it. Let me just double check. Right. He's trying to say, like, this is a good claim you're trying to make? Like, what kind of a claim are you making? Aman kasamichmar, Rav Idi Bar Avin, who are you relying on to get rights to this land? Right? Who are you relying on? Ahai. You're relying on your relative's word, correct? Your relative, what happened? The relative first said, I'm closer. Then, after, let's say, a year, he said, you're actually a closer relative. So now, on what basis does Rav Idi Bar Avin have rights to go into this land? The word of the relative, right? The admission, so to speak, of the relative. So, what does he say? So, my kar samach mar, on who are you relying to go back on the land? Ahai, haka, right? On that guy. And what did that guy say? Haka amar da'ana mikarav natfe. That guy said, if you're relying on his word, well, first his word was, I'm closer, meaning he had all zchuyot to the land. So for that first year, let's say it was a year, he had rights to that land because we're going based on his word alone. His word alone established first that he was a closer relative, and then his word, although it didn't establish he was definitely closer, but at least it established he was had a claim and gave him rights to go down to the land and eat. And then based on his later claim, we're going to make him go off the land. So what does Rav Chista say? Basically, you're just going by this guy's admission, so it's only going to start from the moment he admitted to you. It doesn't matter what's reality. It's not like everything's absolute. He either is closer or he's not closer. It's a matter of he told you this and then he told you that. So when he told you this, we relied on that and that was fine. Now he told you something new. Then we have a new thing, but only the clock starts ticking only right now.
But the Gemara, you know, presents this in such a one-sided way. you know, it looks like the Rav Edi is wrong. But maybe he was protesting the whole time and the guy was sitting on the land and eating it in front of him. Mm-hmm. You know, you have no way of knowing that it could have been, like, terrible that he was eating the stuff. I understand what
you're saying. Again, it could be, but at that point, the guy had just as many rights to the land as Rav Edi Bar Avin did. And if he got there first, then he has rights to it. So he had legitimate halachic rights. Whether Rav Edi Bar Avin was upset about it or not, that doesn't really make a difference.
His rights were based on the fact that he just claimed
that he's that is true. So, lucky for you, Abai Varava, lo sphira lehu hadarav chista. They disagree. And what do they say? Kevan de ode, ode. Once he admits that he was not the actual relative, well then, he's off the land and we go back. So Shari has, you're with Rava and Abaye, which is in pretty good company. And they think that once the guy admits, he admits. And, you know, basically, it was Shalok Kadim from the beginning. You can see the Rashbam says, De Shalok Kadim, Hichzik Arata. The whole thing was Shalok Kadim. And therefore, it becomes clear now, we go by absolute truth, right? Or again, absolute truth measured by his admission. But his admission is basically telling us, this is actually reminding me a little bit of Eid Zomim. There's a whole machloket. When you become an Eid Zomim, how do you become an Eid Zomim? Witnesses testify against you in court and you become an Eid Zomim. Now, there could have been time passed from the time you testified falsely and the time that you were convicted. So the question is, when we convict you, do we say, it's one of the famous machloket, Abaye v'Rava, that we paskin like Abaye against Rava. Do we say, l'mafreya hu nifsal, that he's nifsal from the time he testified? Or do we say that we don't really know what the truth is? It's just that the Torah is mechadesh to us, that Eid Zomim, if someone testifies, two people say, Imanu Ayitem, Amakom Ploni, then we're going to accept their testimony over theirs, because we don't really know what the truth is, and therefore we're only going to go by the moment of conviction. It's like this. We don't really know. Maybe the guy felt bad. Maybe Rav Edi Bar Avin was really upset about it, and the guy just felt bad and said, you know what? You're a closer relative. Take the tree. We don't know what motivated him. It's not testimony. It's his admission. So I think Rav Chista is trying to say, it's one thing, the guy's being nice and saying, I'll give you the lamb right now. Remember, the guy had no motivation to give him the lamb. The lamb was his. So we're going to now make the guy pay up all the produce he ate from before? Could have been 5 years he was living there. That's a lot of produce to back pay. So what he's saying is, if this guy's coming forward and admitting, go with him from his admission. It also, by the way, it's a little similar to what we saw about Gzela, that we want to, or Gneva, that we want to encourage people to return lost items. So again, it could be that Rav Chista is also saying, if we don't say this, no one's ever going to admit to things because they'll have to backpay so much that it's not going to be worth it. So that's the, I can be mechazek Rav Chista's side with that, even though, right, if you go by absolute truth, so, if we're going to say his admission means truth, then remember, hoda'a bal din kemei edim dami, it's considered as if it's testimony. So, okay. New case. Zeomer shalavotai, vezeomer shalavotai. Okay, I think we saw this exact case before, so I'm not really sure why they're repeating this. This one says it's my father's, and this one says it's my father's.
Yeah, it says.
What? We saw this. Yeah, right, it is above. Hai aite sade de avatehu, v'hai aite sade de achal shnei chazaka. Right, so they both say it's my father's. But one brings testimony that it was his father's, and the other brings testimony that he ate shnei chazaka. Amar Rav Chista, malo l'shaker, right? We believe him, the guy who brings the chazaka. Remember, he didn't say, but I bought it, right? He's missing the tana, but what do we say? Malo l'shaker, he has no reason, right? He could have said a better lie. Ibai amar le, minach zavinte v'achati shnei chazaka. He could have said, it's true, it was your father's, but I bought it from you, and I've been eating shnei chazaka, and therefore we believe him, as long as he brings witnesses, that he ate shnei chazaka. Abai Birava, okay, the reason why they bring this again is because of this. Because Rav Chista said one thing, and Abai Birava disagreed, just like in the previous case. Abai Birava lo sfira lehu hadar Rav Chista, because mali l'shaker b'mkom edim lo amrinan. In other words, here we have a mali l'shaker for one guy, but it's up against edim that the other guy brings, that it belongs to his father, in which case we're not going to accept amigo against edim. I think I didn't mention this when we learned it the first time, but maybe I'll mention it now in case I didn't, which is that how could Rav Chista say Migo Bumkom Edim works? Right? Migo Bumkom Edim, right? Obviously Edut is a stronger, but here it's not Edim against him necessarily, because it's just Edim that say it belonged to my father's at some point. So And it's so the migo b'mkom edim also isn't a classic migo b'mkom edim, because the edim aren't 100% contradicting his claim. They could just be claiming, it was my father's before you were living there. And, you know, so therefore, it's not the strongest malo l'shaker b'mkom edim. And that's why there's a machlok about. Okay, new case. Hahuda amar le l'chavre, my bayit b'hai ara, what are you doing in my land? Amar le, minach zavne v'achalti ashne chazaka. Right, I bought it from you, and I've been eating 3 years. Azal aite sade da achla tarte shne. So what does he do? He brings witnesses that he's been eating fruits for 2 years, which obviously doesn't help him. Amar Rav Nachman, hadra are v'hadra pere. What does Rav Nachman say? Not only does he have to give back the land, but since he brought witnesses that he ate on the land for 2 years, now he's got to bring back all the fruits from the 2 years that he ate, return all the produce. Amar Rav Zvid, im ta'an v'amar l'peirot yaradeti ne'eman. If he said, okay, the first claim we saw was that he said, I bought the lamb from you, and I've been eating shnei chazaka, right? So then, of course, he isn't proven right, because he only has proof for 2 years, and therefore we clearly kick him off the land. But if he doesn't say, I bought it from you, but the guy says, what are you doing in my land? And he says, you hired me as a sharecropper, or you sold me the fruits of your land, and that's why I'm eating the fruits of your land. So if that's the case, then he's believed, and he doesn't have to return the payroll that he already ate. Why? Because lav mi amar Rav Yehuda, didn't Rav Yehuda say, hai man dinakit magla vituvila, a guy who takes a sickle and a... I forgot what a tuvila is. A scythe. Okay, he takes a scythe, things for cutting off fruits from trees. Va'amar, right, like a picker. Ezil igdere ledikla deplanya, dezavna nihale. If he says, I'm going to pick fruits off this dekel tree, off this palm tree, that so-and-so sold to me. Okay, the assumption is, some of the freshmen say he sold me the whole tree, but most of the freshmen say he sold him the fruits of the tree. Meheman, he's believed. Why? Why is he believed? Because there's a chazaka. Okay, we've seen this before, that there's basic assumptions we make about human behavior. What's the basic assumption we're going to make here? Lo chatzif inish degazar dikla delavdi day. Would I go into your house and start picking your fruits if you hadn't sold them to me? No, like that's really chatzuf. To walk into someone else's property and start picking the fruits off their tree, that's mamash chatzuf. Nobody would do that. So the only...
to live there is okay.
Right, yafeh, so hold off, okay? Hold on for one minute. So the assumption is that someone wouldn't have chutzpah to walk into someone's property and start picking the fruits off their trees. So then what do they say? So therefore, if you claim I went there to get the produce because you sold me the produce, or you told me I could be a sharecropper on your land, which means I get parts of the produce, then we assume that I'm believed, because why else, right? I wouldn't be so chutzpahdik. So ihachi aranami, exactly as you said, Chair. What about the land? In other words, also we should say the same thing about land. Now, this could go in two ways. This could mean in general. Why don't we say that every time we're talking about achlashne chazaka, that he's believed, because lo chatzif inish, that's going to go into someone else's property, right? Maybe he's raising a question on the entire concept of achlashne chazaka. But other people say, no. What he means is, in this particular case, he said, yaradati lepeiro, right? What if he said, yaradati lechazaka? Maybe we could say the same thing, that he wouldn't be so chatzuf. So what do they say? Ara amrina le'achve shtarach. Okay, what do we say? By land, we say, show me your star, right? And therefore, when it comes to land, the chazaka is overpowered by the fact that you should have a star to show for it. And if you're going into somebody's land and living in their land, and then you can't show proof of purchase, and you can't show proof that you've been living there 3 years and maybe something happened to your shtar, then we don't believe you. You lose credibility. And that's why that overpowers the chatzif inish. So then they say, yachi perinami. So you should say the same thing about peirot, right? You also bring a shtar. You sold me the peirot of the tree. So what are the answer? No, shtare la peri lo avde inche. Okay, people generally don't write contracts about the fruits. They do write contracts about selling the land. And therefore, when it comes to the land, you need to show proof. And the proof is either a shtar or you've been living there 3 years. And in this case, the guy had neither. Okay? Now, one could argue, if you're going to say that it was just an argument in this particular case, it doesn't question the whole concept of achlashne chazaka. And I think or in general, you could give a different answer as to the difference between pay road and land. I think there's a difference. Land, I assume, in most of these cases, the owner wasn't there, right? Whereas if I go and take fruits off your tree, that's a case where I'm going into property that's yours, that either you're working the land, you have other workers working the land. As remember, these are out in the fields. It's not necessarily that the owner's there. It's not like now where I go into your backyard and I take your fruits. Obviously, you might see me. That's lo chatzif inish. But even in your field, I wouldn't walk into your field. Imagine, I'm trying to think of a situation. Imagine there's a babysitter in your house and somebody walks into your house, goes inside, takes something and leaves, right? So the babysitter would assume that it must be a friend of yours who said they were coming to pick something up, and they did that because no other person in their right mind would walk into your house, take your stuff and walk out with it, right? It's bizarre that someone would do that. So I think that's the same thing that they're saying here. In other words, even if the owner's not there, there's workers there, there's other people, you know, people would see him walking in, and people wouldn't do such a chutzpahdik thing to just walk into someone's property. But when he takes over someone's land, I'm assuming it's a case where nobody's there. And it's just deserted land, because otherwise...
It's actually benefiting the owner.
If someone's working the land.
Yeah, you have to remove the fruits every year and work the land.
Right, it's true. If someone is right, there is some benefit that he's maintaining it. So, you know, it seems to me that most of these cases are where the owner's not paying attention to the fact, and that's a different situation.
But you don't think it means just in this case where somebody makes the effort with a rope and scaling a date palm? So, because Rav Yehuda says someone who takes a scythe and a rope in his hands and he's... So then it says we don't believe him in this case because maybe to go pick an apple's no big deal, but to climb up a palm tree with a rope,
You think this particular case it's a bigger
deal?
That's
what it says. He had sold this produce, it's believed. So I don't know.
I think it's...
Because a person is so rude as to harvest another's palm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that he was doing a whole harvest. It wasn't just
picking
one apple. It was a whole harvest. And because he was doing... It was
I'm
a big effort.
It's a lot more work.
It's a lot more work, you're saying.
Trees.
Right. So,
maybe
so to start picking this whole palm tree, you wouldn't do if it wasn't yours.
Because to just go into a field and pick somebody's oranges or apples, would walk in.
Right. So there I think also, right, I do think that you're right, that there's a distinction between just picking one random fruit and picking a lot of fruits. But again, in most of these cases, we're talking about that he was achlashne chazaka, that he was eating... all of the produce of the land. So I think the assumption is someone wouldn't go in and eat all the produce of the land if it wasn't his, of one tree,
It's ironic, except that when you do a whole big procedure of spreading out the thing and then picking the fruits from the tree, it looks like you're official there. It's even more fraudulent because people would less suspect that you're stealing because you've done operation.
Mm-hmm.
There was
a
case
good
of stealing olives from somewhere.
Really?
That where they looked so official that for a couple of years, nobody suspected until somebody finally said, wait, they're just not the owners. And then
that's
went and found out that they'd been stealing the olives.
Right. I agree with that distinction. Right. You can argue either which way. Okay, next case. Hahuda Amar Lachavre, my bayit bahara, hi Ara, what are you doing in this land? Amar le minach zavanit va'achalti shnei chazaka. And I bought it from you and I've been eating shnei chazaka. Aite chad sahada da'achla tlat shnei. He brought one witness that said that he was eating for 3 years. Right? Okay, now one witness, what do we know about one witness in halacha? Not acceptable, but it is mechayev shvua. Okay? It makes you... If you, let's say we're having a disagreement and you claim that something in my house is yours and you bring one witness to prove it, so if I want to keep that item in my house, right, even though it's hamotzi mechaver olav haraya, one witness is enough to force me to swear. Now, some people even understand that really, mikar adin, one witness is enough. It's just that since we really need two, in other words, really, that's enough to say this item isn't mine. However, halacha isn't mechayev until there's two, and therefore, if I want to keep it, I have to swear, and if I'm unwilling to swear, I have to give it to you. So, what happens in this case? One witness came and said that I was eating there for 3 years. So, Sefer Rabbanan Kameda Abaye Lameimar, Hainu Nascha de Rabbi Abba. What's the issue here right now? Do I have to pay you the fruits of all those 3 years? Okay, do we accept the testimony of the one witness to force me to pay the produce of all those years? So what do they say? They thought originally, and then we're going to reject it, that this is just like the case of Nasca de Rabbi Abba. Nasca is a piece of metal, okay, some sort of piece of metal or silver. Dahu gavar de chataf Nasca mechavre. He grabbed a piece of metal from his friend. Onto the comment, let me just explain for one more minute. I don't think I didn't explain well enough. I claim that I have a chazaka on the land and that it's mine. But I can't bring witnesses. I bring one, only one witness. So according to my claim, it belongs to me, and I don't owe you any payroad. But according to the witness now, the witness that I brought, he's actually incriminating me. Because what's he saying? He's not establishing my ownership rights to it, but he is saying that I ate the produce, which means that if we can't establish ownership and I ate the produce, that I have to pay you back the produce. Follow? So that's the question. Can he be mechayev me? In theory, what should he be mechayev me? To take a shvua.
Yeah.
I have to swear. Okay, now what do I have to swear? The problem is, what do I swear? That I didn't eat it? I can't swear that because I said I ate it. So I'm stuck because I can't take a shvua. You follow? That's going to be the comparison to this other case we're going to see. So let's just review. I claim I lived there for 3 years. Okay, and it's mine. You have, right? And I have a witness that I brought that says I ate there 3 years, but it's not enough to say that it's mine. So really, the land is yours. I have to get off the land. Do I have to pay you the produce? Because there's one witness that says I owe you the produce. In which case, halacha says, if I don't want to pay the produce, I have to swear. That, what do I have to swear? That I didn't eat it. But I can't swear that I didn't eat it because I did eat it. Okay? Swearing that it's mine doesn't help me. That's not what I have to swear about. I have to swear that I didn't eat the produce. Because right now I'm chayav to pay you the produce that I ate. But I can't swear that because
it's not. Why is that what you're swearing? Why aren't you swearing to agree with what the witness claimed, which is that you were on the land for 3 years?
But that won't help me because the chiyuv mamonot on me right now because of this one witness is that I ate produce, and I can't prove from my own swearing that the land belongs to me. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. The shvua only works to exempt me from a payment. What's the payment I want to exempt myself from? From eating, having eaten the produce. Okay. But I can't swear that I didn't eat the produce because I already said I did eat the produce. Okay. So what do I do in that case? Okay, so we're going to see another case where a guy can't take a shvua, and we'll see what happens to him. Okay, so somebody stole a piece of metal or silver from his friend. Onto the Kamei de Rabbi Ami. Okay, he comes before Rabbi Ami. Have a Yativ Rabbi Abba Kamei. Rabbi Abba happened to be sitting right there. Okay, so let's say I stole a piece of silver from you. So you bring one witness that I stole it from you. Amrle, I say, in chatve. You're right, I did steal this silver piece from you. But why did I steal it? Vididi chatve. I stole it because it was mine. You took it from me earlier. It was mine. I was just stealing back my own item. So now what happens? So I admit that I stole it. However, I'm differing about who owns the item, right? I'm claiming I'm the owner of the item. It's the same type of case, right? We're also there. I agree that I ate the produce. It's just that I claim that I was the owner of the produce. Amar Rabbi Ami. Hey, what's the problem, though? I don't have proof of ownership that I own this item. So Amar Rabbi Ami, Hechi Nidainuha. How are we going to judge him? Hechi Nidainuha Daine. How are we going to judge this case? Hechi Nidune Daine Lahai Dina. How are the Dainim supposed to judge this din? Lishalem, if you want to say he needs to pay, I need to pay the money, Le Katre Sade. There's no two witnesses that claim that I stole it. Right? There's my word that says I stole it, right? And there's the Eid Echad that says I stole it, but my word is that I stole my own thing. Lifterei, what if we say, let's exempt me entirely? Ikachad Sade, but there's one witness against me. Lishtaba, why don't we make me swear? Because there's Eid Echad. Ha'amar, Michtaf Chatva, right? It's exactly the same problem as the last case, which is, I can't swear because I said that I stole it. I admitted that I stole it. And since there's a siman sheila, we don't know whether you own it or I own it. So therefore, it's very possible that I'm a gazlan. Now, a gazlan can't testify in court. Why can't a gazlan testify in court? Because what's a gazlan chashud about? Mamonot. And therefore, anyone who's chashud on mamonot that they'll steal money is chashud that they'll take money for lying falsely. So therefore, I can't swear because I'm a gazlan or a potential gazlan, right? I even said I stole it, right? So therefore, I can't swear. So I'm a Rabbi Abba. So basically, that's what, remember, what happened? This comes before Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Abba was sitting before him. So I'm a Rabbi. So Rabbi Ami says, "Well, what am I supposed to do? I can't. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place, right? Well, I'm stuck. Okay. So I'm a Rabbi Abba. Have a mechuyav shvua sheino yachol lishava. This is a classic case of someone who's mechuyav shvua that can't take the shvua, just like our case. Bechol mechuyav shvua sheino yachol lishava mishalem. The halacha is that if you take a shvua that you can't swear about, right, that you can't actually swear, then you pay. Okay, that's the halacha. So likewise, in our case, remember, the person brought one witness that said he ate nechazaka. That one witness now turns against him and is going to cause him to have to pay the produce for all 3 years because he can't swear. And if he can't swear, this is what I said before, that some people view it, that eidacha really is mechayev you. It's just that we need two witnesses to bring it lafoal. But therefore, so we instituted shvua to prevent, right? That will resolve it. But in a case where there's no shvua, we go back to the basic ikar adin, which is you have to pay.
Why would you have ever stayed there for 3 years if you knew he had no chance of...
He didn't know he had no chance. He had no idea that this was going to happen to him. Maybe. So now, wait a minute. So now, wait. Wait, we haven't finished the story. We're going to finish till the end of this amud, okay? Amar le'abaye midame. But these two cases are in parallel. Hatam sa'de la'orue ka'ate. In the case of the stolen item, so the witness was against him. And if one other witness would have come, what would have happened? They would have taken the money away from him, right? They would have made him pay. In our case, he brought the witness to support him. And if we had found another witness, it would have given the land fully to him. So therefore, you can't compare these two cases because the aid was on his side and it was to protect him, not to go against him. Okay, so that's exactly, I think, where you were getting at, right? That it doesn't make any sense. This was his witness. So, Ela Idamya, if you're going to make a comparison, Had Rabbi Abba, Lechad Sade Ulatre Shne Ulapere. What would be the right comparison? If you have one witness who testified to 2 years of chazaka, right, that you were living there for 2 years and took the payrot, right, so it would be the same case where if somebody brings one witness, but he says that you were living there for 2 years, right, and that you were eating payrot. So then, right. It's where, one second. Sorry, what he's saying now is I misread. He says, if you're going to compare the case of the Nascha case, when somebody stole a medal, and what he's saying is, Rabbi Abba, the case that you brought is more similar to a case where I was living on the land for a few years, and the original owner brings one aid to say that I was living there for 2 years, and it's not me bringing for 3 years. Somebody brings a witness that says I was living there for 2 years, and I was eating payrot. That would be a similar comparison, because then the aid would be against me. And that would be a case where we would make a connection, but not this case. This case is not the same case as that. Okay, we'll stop here for today because the next few dapim are short. I'm just going to teach on Sunday from here, so you don't have to do on Shabbat. We'll start from Lamed Dalet Amud Bet and we'll finish to the end of Lamed Hey Amud Bet on Sunday.